God is good all the time, brother. This month's teaching is Walking with Christ. My message title is Resurrection Event in My Life in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to give a little bit of a different format today. I'm going to give testimony of my life from a young life in Christ to a little farther up in life with Christ. And I'm going to give a Bible scripture with each section of my walk in Christ to begin each section. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son that we can have eternal life. If we just call on the name of Jesus and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he will forgive us our sins. And he will save us. He is righteous and just in all that he has said. I was 12 years old when I asked Jesus into my life. I was witnessed to by a Christian counselor at a day camp in the city where I was saved. And when I was saved, that counselor was just, I don't want to say just, he was a tool, an instrument, somebody that he gave to witness to me that I could be saved. He was one of many, many things that he gives that leads us to him and that he strengthens and enhances and gives grace and a walk with him because he uses everything. There's nothing he can't use. And I surely wasn't thinking about him when the Holy Spirit moved upon me to call on the name of Jesus, because that's why I called on the name of Jesus. I didn't wake up that day and say, I'm going to call on Jesus. I want to know the Lord. I didn't know nothing. But when the Holy Spirit moved upon me and I called on his name, I knew I was saved. I knew right then and there. And we share this in Bible study and Sunday school quite often. Everybody's walk is different. Everybody, when they got saved, it's different. Some people have that hallelujah. Some people, it's quiet. And that's the greatness and the vastness of our God that we serve. Because he is everything. He is all things. So I want to thank him for saving me. And when I got home from that week of camp for kids, man, I was fired up. I was. Y'all think I get a little excited up here sometimes? I was fired up. I was talking about Jesus. I told my mom and dad I got saved. I accepted Jesus. I told a little nephew of mine. And I haven't seen him in a lot of years. And I pray that the Lord saved him. But he was mischievous. He was ornery. And I witnessed to him. I told him, I said, man, I went to camp. And I received Jesus. And he's looking at me like I had three heads. I mean, just, and a lot of people were. I was probably a little more excited than I even thought. But the Lord does that to us. He does that. He puts that fire in our heart. He gives us that joy. He gives us that hope. That's all from him. I can't generate that. I can't generate that kind of joy or that kind of exuberance. That's him. So, the next thing I want to read is Jeremiah chapter 29, 11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall call, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. That was Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. So life went on, and life really went on. And I was very we didn't have a big church family. My mom and dad had both recently gotten saved before that, but we didn't go to church regularly yet, and I didn't really have a walk with the Lord. So my excitement kind of calmed down. And I was very lukewarm for the next several years. I was very quiet in the Lord. I prayed every night. Thank God for my sister, Mary Alice. I prayed every night. I prayed for my family. I prayed for my friends, because she had always helped mentor me, because she had been saved before all of us. So I thank God for putting her in my life. And I used to, a little bit later on in life, I used to feel a little bit of condemnation in the fact that I was lukewarm for those years. And I shared with the pastor in Bible study one time of how I actually asked him a question. And I thank God that he understands us. He knows us. I mean, really knows us. Because I asked him, I said, look, I said, Pastor, I said, why did the Lord wait so many years to really use me, to really fire me back up for him? And I always felt a little condemnation about that. But I'll get to that later, because I'm jumping ahead. So I was just going along, living life. And the Lord was always there. I knew I was saved. I knew he was with me. But I wasn't really there with him. So I turned 18, and I was working a couple of full-time jobs, and I met my first wife, Patty. And we dated for a while, for a few years, and we married, and we had three kids. We've had several grandkids together, and we were together for 27 years, and she was saved as well. We were both Christians, but we were both lukewarm. We didn't have a good walk in the Lord. So I will go to the next passage that I want to read. John chapter 11, 32. Then when Mary came to Jesus and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. That's from the book of John. And it's about Lazarus. Lazarus and Mary. And of course, we know that the Lord brought Lazarus back to life. Well, I wrote down that the Lord got my attention, but I don't say, I know now that the Lord doesn't do things to harm us. The Lord is for our good. He will not kill somebody or let somebody die out of spite or out of to hurt you. Life is going to happen. We're going to lose people. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting. It's going to almost crush us. But when we're children of God, it won't crush us, because the Lord has us. The Lord catches our every tear, and holds them because he loves us, because his love for us is perfect. So I talked to the Lord about this, and I've asked for forgiveness for some of the talk I've had with the Lord about this back then, because I was hurt, I was angry, I was sad, and the Lord let me realize so softly, it wasn't just that I lost Patty. It was the way, my condemnation on myself, or the way I was living, the things I was doing. And he let me know all these things gently. And I always knew he was holding my hand, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how much I struggled. He was always with me, always, somehow, some way. It's like Brother Jim says, it's supernatural. Because he was always holding my hand. Every step of my life, he's been holding my hand. So I pretty much asked the Lord that question. We laid her to rest. And then a few days went by. Everybody went home. And the house was quiet. And I went back to the cemetery. And I sat there in my truck and I opened the door. And I sobbed. Because it was quiet now. I didn't have to hide looking like a fool. Because unfortunately, as a man, I've done that in my life. And I sat there. And I thought I was going back. And I prayed about this last couple of weeks studying for this message. And I prayed about this. And I talked to the Lord about this. And I actually thanked him that he has given me the life he's given me, because he's been with me on the highest mountain and he's been with me in the lowest valley. He has never left me and never forsaken me, never. And that goes for every one of you, every single one of you. When you call on the name of Jesus, he will never forsake you. He is with you always, always. We're flesh and blood, we're carnal. We're made out of dust. I wish I had a handful of dirt to pick up. Thank you, Lord. So I sat there and I sobbed. I didn't cry. I sobbed. I'm thankful nobody else was at the cemetery then. So I sat there. I had the door open. I was sitting in my truck. And I literally yelled out loud, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? I had never been without her. I had never been without her. And I literally asked the Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? I had no clue. I had no idea. But he did. He not only knew, but he was kind to me. He was loving to me. He embraced me. I felt his loving hug, and he has never left me and never forsaken me. So as I sat there sobbing, and talking to him, who I thought I was going to talk to Patty, but I ended up talking to the Lord. I know I say some crazy stuff, but it was late August. This was August 2008, August 25th. And I had my door open, and it was hot, and it was summertime. I mean, you don't get many breezes in the summer. And this gust of wind came across me and my truck and sitting with the door open. And I literally, I can't even truly explain it. I literally got the feeling that it was going to be okay. Sobbing, just... So I know in my heart that was the Lord comforting me. You couldn't tell me otherwise. You could look at me like I'm crazy. Just like when I was 12 and got saved. Look at me like I'm the craziest person in the world. I know that was the Lord. So I've always listened to Christian preachers on the radio in the morning. And One of them I was listening to one morning had a read the Bible in a year, and you could call in and get a Bible study. Well, I hadn't been a big reader. I really never had been. And I called in, and I got that study, and I started studying the Bible. And I mean studying, not just reading, studying the Bible and reading those questions and filling them in with answers. And I started praying for real, not just praying because I knew he was God and I was me and I was a creation. I started praying because he was the apple of my eye now. He was my everything. And not because I didn't have anything left, because he has blessed me in everything I've done in my life. Everything. It's hard for some people to say, but you lost a woman you were with 27 years. He still blesses me every day. Every day. And I'm so thankful. And I was reading that and studying and praying every day, every morning before I would go to work. So several months went by, and well, probably even longer than that, quite a while went by. And of course, God blessed me to meet another wonderful woman. And therein is the reason I say I am blessed. And not only has the Lord blessed me and all the things in my life, and I'm thankful for them. Thankful for them. In my heart, I thank the Lord for them. But the truest blessing he's given me is more of him. When I talk to him, I tell him all the time, Lord, I don't know how you ain't tired of me. I don't know how. I tell everybody, I'm like your crazy cousin, comes by and never goes away. Everyone in Bible study will tell you that too. But I talk to the Lord, and I talk to the Lord honestly. And the only reason I feel that I talk to the Lord honestly is because he took away my fear of talking to him about my dirt, about my craziness, about the stupid things I've done in my life. And he has loved me regardless of them. And if you read read the view from my place that the pastor wrote. Thank you, Pastor. It was, he loved me through all of that. He loved me through all of that. He loves me as much as when he died for me 2,000 years ago. When he died on that cross, he was thinking of Don Broadnax. He was thinking of each one of you. As he was beaten, as he was crushed, as his side was pierced, as he was hung on that cross and bled, he died for each one of us. He loved each one of us that much then. Even before we were saved, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. Try not to get too sidetracked here. So, I had a really wow moment. My oldest daughter, Jamie, called me on a Saturday night and said, hey, Dad, you want to go to church tomorrow? I was like, yeah, absolutely. So me and her and the grandkids went to church. I think Jeannie was in Pennsylvania that weekend. So we came to church. Guess where that church was? That was Valley Brook Community Church. Yep. God's honest truth. Valley Brook Community Church. And I met a guy there. And his name was Pastor Dan. And as the Lord led me to keep on going, the pastor taught us and teaches about the Lord, about Jesus. And he teaches forgiveness of sins. He teaches love, about grace, about forgiveness, about the blood, about the cross, because it's all about Jesus. Romans chapter 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All that condemnation I felt for so many years, as the Lord led me in Valley Brook, He filled and showed enough of His holy grace upon me to take that away. That I don't have that condemnation, because the blood of Christ has cleansed me. And I am so thankful for the walk the Lord has given me. So thankful. So now, where I said I was doing things kind of differently today, the main idea in my message is tools and things the Lord uses to draw us in our walk with Him. That's my main idea. Yes, ma'am. Tools and things the Lord uses to draw us with our walk with Him. And the tools that the Lord uses, and these are just a few. I mean, the Lord, these are just a few. And they may even be a little more for me than others. These may not be the things the Lord specifically uses for you. For me, He uses quiet time in the Word anytime. I used to say in the morning, but I've noticed the way the Lord works, that quiet time can be any time. I like the morning for my specific quiet time, but you can have quiet time with the Lord anytime. You can pull somewhere off the road in your car and have a few moments of quiet time with the Lord. I love the pastor shared about a month or 6 weeks ago about one of the men on the cross beside Christ, how one of them ridiculed Him and judged Him. And the other said, how can you persecute this man? This man is innocent. He did nothing wrong. And he was speaking to Jesus. And Jesus told him, you will be home with me. And the pastor wrote, and I'm just kind of going by memory. I wish I'd have wrote it down. He couldn't cross his hands. Oftentimes, I used to think I had to have my hands crossed to pray. Oftentimes, I used to think I had to have my head bowed to pray. I used to think, and maybe that was more of a religious thing that I hadn't learned not to do yet or not to think. That man couldn't cross his hands. He was hung on a cross, had his arms nailed to the cross, his feet bound and nailed to the cross. That man couldn't bow. He couldn't cross his hands or hold his hands together. He couldn't do a lot of the things we think of to accept Jesus or to give Jesus glory. And that was basically, I think, what the pastor was sharing in that. And it really opened my eyes to make me think about the fact that I don't have to do specific things to pray or to talk to the Lord. Because when I pray to the Lord, I know He hears me. He hears my every word. And I'm so thankful that He has also taught me, that the Lord is showing me, that I don't need him to answer my prayers in a specific way. Just knowing he hears my prayers because he answers everything perfectly. It may not feel the best for me when we lose our loved ones, or when we don't get that job we want, or someone's just literally under your skin. But the Lord's going to work the best out and all those things for you because you're his child. You are a child of God. Thursday night Bible study with others. Adult Sunday school with other believers. Church. Coming to church on Sundays to fellowship in Jesus with other believers. Men's meeting. Women's meetings. These are all things the Lord uses to enhance, to enrich, to excite our walk with him. Because that's what this whole walk is about, is our walk with Christ. Because he gave himself. He gave himself. Yes, God gave his only begotten son. But Christ willingly laid his life down for us, for each one of us. Not what the world would have you think. It's not about race. It's not about a person or a creed or a color. It's us. Each one of us. He gave his life. Innocent and spotless. Without blemish. Perfect and holy. He didn't have to come down from that throne. From his throne in heaven. He willingly came down. Lived a life here on earth. And died for us. And people wonder where my excitement comes from. It comes from him. And I just want to say thank you to the Lord. I want to say thank you for the walk that he's given me. I never, ever in my life, me and Junie were talking. I never thought, nobody that knows me ever thought, he would have me where he has me. I remember when I first started going to, I love my brother Edgar. I don't know if he's here or not today. My brother Edgar, yeah, I hope you're watching. So one of the first times I came to Bible study, I came straight from work. And my work can be pretty dirty sometimes. I get really grungy. I look rough. So I didn't have a chance to go home and get a shower. I came straight to Bible study, and I was filthy. And I remember Brother Edgar looking at me, and he didn't say it, but we talked about it later. He said, man, who is this brother? And me and Edgar, I mean, we are brothers. We talk, me and Edgar, we are there. And he told me one day, he said, man, he said, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, go ahead, brother, be honest. I've had a few real honest talks with a few people in this church. And he looked at me and he told me this story, told me what he was thinking when he saw me. And I wasn't offended. I wasn't mad. That's what I look like. That might have even been who I was that night. I might have had a really hard day. But the Lord was the reason I was there. The Lord was the one that called me there. The Lord was the one that gives me the excitement to want to be there. So we talked about it a little bit. And he told me, he said, man, he said, but as I seen you come to Bible study, he said, I saw the Lord in you. And I told, I said, Edgar, that's all I got. That's all I got. And there are a lot of people who tell you, I got nothing without Jesus. Nothing. And I wanted to say this one last thing before I close. I wanted to say how thankful I am for Pastor and Miss Laverne. so many reasons for the pastor, and I don't know who has the heat up today. But the pastor's writings, I pray about this and I think about this sometimes. It's hard for me not to want to idolize the pastor. And I don't, because I know I shouldn't. But that brother has been blessed. That brother gives the word, gives his writings, and that's the Lord that gives him all those. So he'll be the first one to tell you. So I ain't telling you nothing he won't tell you. But it's like the view from my place the other day. You truly wanted me. The real 100% me. I was sitting at my desk studying when this came on and I read it on my computer. I almost fell out of my office chair. You want the real 100% me. Not the image, not the act. And it goes on and on and on. That's who Jesus wants. He wants my heart. He wants our hearts. He don't want the me that used to go to bed at night and close my hands and pray for others with a lukewarm heart. He wants all of my heart. He doesn't want me to come to church on Sundays. He doesn't want me to come to church on Sundays and just because I'm supposed to do that. He wants me. I love my new wife. I love her, love her, love her. But she can't want me like Christ does. I can't want her like Christ does. Christ alone. So I will close on this. And I wanted to thank you for letting me call you out, Miss Laverne, even though you didn't know it. The end of my testimony today, God wastes nothing. He uses everything. And that's from Miss Laverne. He wastes nothing. When I used to think a lot of my life was wasted, that I wasn't zealous and fired up for the Lord, He was using everything in my life for a purpose, for a reason, drawing me to Him, making my walk with Him true, enhancing my walk with Him. Because I want to read one passage, Proverbs chapter 16:9. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And that's my walk with the Lord. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. But like the movie with Jack Nicholson said, sometimes you can't handle the truth. So I will close with that. And I just want to say thank you. And I pray that the Lord has blessed somebody with the words that He's given today. Thank you, guys.